Sehr geehrte Damen und Herren.
Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Gerhard Krommel will be talking and will be opening today's AGM. Ladies and gentlemen, current and former employees of Siemens AG, former members of our bodies, shareholders. In the name of the Supervisory Board and the Management Board, I most cordially welcome you and thank you for your great interest in Siemens and its successful development that you are evidencing with your appearance today. I herewith call to order the 2014 AGM of Siemens Aktiengesellschaft, and as Chairman of the Supervisory Board, I shall be chairing the meeting in accordance with our Articles of Association. The past fiscal year was a very important year for Siemens. The Management Board and the Supervisory Board had to take far-reaching and difficult decisions, which, however, these developments and the future orientation of Siemens will be important topics of today's annual general meeting. Before I turn to these topics, I would first of all like to briefly deal with the necessary formalities of this annual general meeting. As concerns attendance, I note that all members of the Supervisory Board, except for Mrs. Samanshi, are attending today's AGM. Mrs. Samanshi is unable to attend because she is ill. All members of the Managing Board are present today. The notarized minutes will be taken by Notary Public Dr. Tilman Goethe. He will be assisted in recording statements, the minutes, by Junior Notary Public Dr. Ulrich Höhnle and Dr. Josef Zintel, whom you find at Speakers Table 1, which is on your left. The annual general meeting was called by publication in the Federal Gazette on 6th of December 2013 in due time and form. The notice is also available on the internet, and it is available for inspection at the speakers' tables. The notice was also disseminated in all of Europe. The meeting room, in a legal sense, includes all areas of Olympiahalle accessible to shareholders beyond the access controls, including the adjoining tent. According to Section 19, Paragraph 7 of our Articles of Association, as the chairman of the meeting, I have arranged for the entire AGM today to be transmitted live on the internet for our shareholders. Up to the beginning of the general debate, the annual general meeting will moreover be broadcast for other interested parties on the internet and in part also on television. As in the past, no verbatim record of the annual general meeting will be taken. Apart from that, the cameras and microphones put up in the meeting room merely serve for transmission on the monitors and loudspeakers put up in the building, including the back office area, in various positions. Up to the end of the general debate, shareholders who are following the AGM on the internet and who have signed up in due time still have the possibility to make changes with respect to their absentee ballot, their proxies and instructions. The list of participants, which will be continuously updated until the end of the AGM, can be viewed by shareholders and shareholder representatives on the upper level at the information booths on computer screens. The approval of the acts of all members of Supervisory Board and Board of Management shall be done by taking individual votes. Further information on the course of the annual general meeting and the voting procedure will be given after Mr. Kayser's statement. Ladies and gentlemen, at this point, I would like to talk about a very important development for large German corporations with registered shares. Since last year, the number of shareholders represented at annual general meetings has been declining drastically. This decline was particularly pronounced in corporations with a high percentage of international shareholders. In corporations with registered shares in DAX, the attendance of general meetings in 2013 decreased by more than 15 percentage points on average. A court ruling by the Cologne Higher Regional Court, which was incorrect from our point of view, has dated summer 2012, has caused uncertainty. Investors were given the impression that when they register their shares to the annual general meeting, they would no longer be able to have these shares at their disposal, a so-called share blocking. However, as our custodial banks confirmed, there is no share blocking. This is something we have explicitly pointed out in the notice of this AGM. If only a few shareholders attend the meeting, there's a risk that the votes at the annual general meeting no longer reflect the will of the majority of the shareholders correctly. Siemens was able to escape this development by taking major efforts. We have in particular explained the situation to our foreign shareholders and investors, and we have been able to persuade many of them to be represented with their votes at the AGM. Today, we expect an attendance of more than 45% compared to 34% in the previous year. Under the circumstances, this is a remarkable result. I would like to cordially thank our shareholders and everyone who participated in that. Well, there should be a little more applause. Ladies and gentlemen, I shall now turn to item one on our agenda, the consideration of the annual and financial statement, consolidated financial statement, together with the combined management report for Siemens AG and the Siemens Group, including the explanatory report according to section 289, paragraph 4 and 5, and section 315, paragraph 4, of the German Commercial Code as of 30th September 2013, as well as the report of the Supervisory Board, the Corporate Governance Report, the Compensation Report and Compliance Report for fiscal year 2012-2013. In this context, I also refer to our annual report, in which these topics are dealt with in the corresponding chapters. The documents to be submitted are available here in the meeting room today, and upon request they were sent to you, and they have also been available on the internet since the publication of our notice. The Ernst & Young GmbH Wirtschaftsprüfungsgesellschaft Stuttgart, as the external auditors elected by the last AGM, have approved the annual financial statements and consolidated financial statements, have reviewed them, and have given the unqualified audit opinion required by statutory provisions. The Supervisory Board has approved the annual financial statements and consolidated financial statements at its meeting on 27th of November 2013. The annual statements have thus been adopted.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd now like to turn to the work of the Supervisory Board in the past fiscal year. To be sure, the company generated a solid profit and was able to show important success in focusing and strengthening its core businesses, such as with the positive public listing of Osram. Yet, on the bottom line, Siemens remained well below its potential. The margin target for 2014 in the company program, which was set by the managing board itself, had to be abandoned. There were delays in major projects, such as the grid connections for wind farms in the North Sea and with the ICE trains. The gap between Siemens and its most important competitors couldn't be reduced, and the company lacked a convincing long-term strategic alignment, which also led internally to growing uncertainty. The Supervisory Board, therefore, had to act. Also, and especially with regard to the composition of the managing board. This applies in particular to the termination by mutual agreement of Mr. Lersch's mandate as member of the managing board and president and chief executive officer, which was unanimously decided upon by the supervisory board on July 31st. With regard to the course of action taken by the supervisory board prior to the change in management, I would like to counter some misinterpretations and present the facts. The members of the Chairman's Committee, other members of the Supervisory Board, and I personally held numerous meetings with Mr. Lersch over a number of months in the course of the past fiscal year. These talks centered on the state of the company as well as its strategic orientation. Out of concern for the progress of the company's development, we conducted an increasingly urgent and critical dialogue with Mr. Lersch during this period. When it became clear in July 2013 that following a number of profit warnings in the last 2 years, the company's targets would again have to be corrected, numerous and intensive talks had already been held with Mr. Lersch over several months. The profit warning in July was not the reason for the separation. It was, at best, the occasion for a decision that had firmed up over a longer period. It's especially regrettable that targeted indiscretions had already been leaked to the media in the days before the decision was reached. This was damaging for all parties involved, and in particular for Siemens. The fact that there are discussions and clashes on the supervisory board is not unusual, considering the consequences of individual decisions, and this is also explicitly welcomed in the spirit of good corporate governance. But that these discussions are subsequently publicized and greatly distorted is not acceptable. This also implies to the attempt made to influence opinion-making on the supervisory board through targeted indiscretions. On Wednesday, July 31st, the supervisory board then unanimously terminated the mandate of Mr. Lersch and appointed Mr. Kayser as his successor. Through these indiscretions and the development of the company in the last 2 years, the accomplishments of Mr. Lersch in his first term of office were unfortunately overshadowed in public perception. I would therefore like to clearly say that Mr. Lersch successfully led Siemens through the challenging times of the compliance crisis and the global financial crisis, and led the company back to a high reputation. Thank you very much for that round of applause. We look back at these services with respect, and we expressly thanked Mr. Lersch for them on behalf of the company. With the appointment of Mr. Kayser as the new president and chief executive officer at Siemens AG, the supervisory board has set a signal for calm and continuity. Mr. Kayser has over 30 years of experience at Siemens and has held a number of top management positions in finance and strategy, both in Germany and abroad. All of you, ladies and gentlemen, know Mr. Kayser from his successful activities as chief financial officer at our company. The reaction of the capital market to our decisions was positive. The Siemens share, which lagged behind our competitors until the summer of 2013, caught up again. In recent weeks, the share reached a price of just under 100 euros, and if we included Osram, it would have been quite a bit higher. We see this as a sign of the trust and confidence in the new management and Siemens, and we are also well aware, however, of the high expectations. The decisions also won broad approval and a very positive resonance among company employees from day one. The loyalty and energy of the employees has provided strong support for our company over the past few months. I would like to expressly thank them for their loyalty and their work every day on behalf of the supervisory board. Ladies and gentlemen, in addition to Mr. Lersch, three other members of the managing board left the company in the past calendar year. In the context of the changes that took place on the managing board, I would like to clearly point out that we merely fulfilled the requirements of the existing contracts with the departing managing board members, and we only paid the settlements we were legally obligated to pay, nothing more. These contractual obligations would otherwise have been legally enforceable. Additionally, we made an agreement with Mr. Lerscher in that he is not permitted to work for any of Siemens' key competitors for a period of 2 years. Moreover, we acted in all agreements in accordance with the German Corporate Governance Code. Ladies and gentlemen, I would also like to thank Ms. Cooks, Ms. Aderer, and Mr. Solmsen on behalf of the Supervisory Board for their services to Siemens. Barbara Cooks stepped down following the end of her 5-year mandate. She gave Siemens a public image for sustainability and the environmental portfolio, and played a major role in ensuring that our company now holds a top position in the Dow Jones Sustainability Index. We also thanked her for a commitment in the important area of procurement optimization. The Corporate Sustainability Department has been placed under the responsibility of Mr. Bush, and procurement functions have been integrated into the sectors and are now Mr. Roosevelt's responsibility. Brigitte Aderer stepped down from her position at the end of the fiscal year by mutual agreement. As the long-standing head of our regional company in Austria, as an expert for Europe, as well as labor director, Ms. Aderer worked with great energy and achieved a great deal of success for Siemens. The Supervisory Board thanked her for her work. The Supervisory Board has appointed Klaus Helmrich as the new labor director. The company's human resources portfolio is now closely integrated with the technology portfolio under his leadership. In view of the growing need for experts worldwide and the importance of innovation leadership, we believe this combination is an advantage, since it strengthens recruitment and talent promotion in the areas of research and technology. At the end of the year, Peter Solmsen also stepped down from the managing board by mutual agreement. Mr. Solmsen played an important role in clearing up the company's compliance affair. By building up a strong compliance organization, he earned great merit. The supervisory board thanked him for his achievements. The legal and compliance organization was integrated into the direct management responsibility of the president and CEO. With this move, we are emphasizing both within and outside the company the great importance we continue to attribute to this undertaking in the company. We've learned the lessons from the experiences of 2006 and 2007. The standards that we set in recent years remain our absolute standards today as well. This applies also in view of the decision taken by the managing board yesterday and announced today that Siemens would delist from the New York Stock Exchange. I am pleased to also make this clear commitment to the achievements of the past few years and for the future as well. In the presence of our former compliance monitor, Dr. Weigel, I warmly welcome you, Mr. Weigel, and am glad that you are with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, in the context of compliance, I would also like to mention the last pending civil proceedings against a former member of the managing board. In December, the Munich District Court sentenced the former Siemens Chief Financial Officer Heinz-Joachim Neuburger to pay 15 million euros in damages, which is the sum we had claimed. In its decision, the court essentially confirmed the legal position taken by the company. Mr. Neuburger has appealed this decision. The decision shows that the company's approach in earlier settlements with the other former managing board members was correct. We acted then with a sense of proportion and will continue to do so in the future. Ladies and gentlemen, following the decisions and personnel changes I just mentioned, the Supervisory Board is supporting the Managing Board to sustainably implement the newly adjusted measures of the company program. countless measures have already been carried out successfully, such as the sale of our stakes in Nokia Siemens Networks and the Water Technologies Unit, or the acquisitions of software companies like LMS International and the rail business at InvenSens. These measures focus and strengthen our core business. Furthermore, a number of organizational changes have been undertaken that will strengthen the company's unity and internal order. On the managing board, individual tasks and responsibilities have been redistributed. In particular, one should mention here the bundling of sector and regional responsibility that will facilitate a stronger market penetration and ease cooperation in the regions. The managing board is currently working on further developing the company's strategy in order to catch up once again with international competition. The supervisory board will continue to actively support the managing board in this strategic work. Here, our new Innovation and Finance Committee plays an important role. Ladies and gentlemen, in this context, it was a particular success for Siemens to have won such an internationally experienced manager as Mr. Jim Hagemann-Snabe in the past year for the highly responsible tasks of the supervisory board. As the current co-CEO and designated member of the supervisory board at SAP, Mr. Snabe is one of the outstanding experts worldwide in the important future-oriented field of software and digitization, a field in which Siemens is also playing an increasingly important role. I'm especially pleased that Mr. Snabe has already agreed to join the Innovation and Finance Committee and contribute his broad expertise to this important committee. Mr. Snabe has already been appointed by the court as the successor to Mr. Ackermann and is standing for election today by the annual shareholders meeting as a shareholder representative. At his request, Mr. Ackermann stepped down as member and second deputy chairman of the supervisory board at the end of the last fiscal year. He was a member of the supervisory board since 2003 and accompanied Siemens in the difficult phases of the compliance affair and the global financial crisis. We expressly thanked Mr. Ackermann for his many years of energetic commitment on behalf of the company. Mr. Venning was elected by the supervisory board as its new second deputy chairman. Moreover, Mr. Rainer Sieg and Mr. Lothar Adler will be retiring in the course of this fiscal year and thus leaving the supervisory board. When the time comes, we will acknowledge their success and commitment of both gentlemen on behalf of Siemens, its employees, and executives. Ladies and gentlemen, the supervisory board was elected just last year to serve until the beginning of 2018. We are pleased at the trust in us shown by the shareholders and are aware of our responsibility for the company. There have been occasional changes in the composition of the supervisory board in the past, and this will also be the case in the future. This applies to both the shareholder as well as the employee representatives. With Mr. Snabe as a new member of the supervisory board, we not only have taken an important step in regard to his expertise, but also in regard to the board's rejuvenation. As far as the shareholder representative side is concerned, the supervisory board and the nominating committee will also respect both aspects in the future. We completely agree with the shareholders and their representatives who rightly expect early and professional succession planning for the supervisory board. In planning and implementing succession on the supervisory board, we will ensure that we initiate the process in good time and maintain a balance between continuity and change. In all decisions here, the interest of Siemens stand exclusively in the foreground. Ladies and gentlemen, in the last fiscal year, the supervisory board set up a compensation committee chaired by Mr. Venning. With this move, we are responding to changes in the legal framework conditions and are taking into account the increased complexity and growing importance of the subject, also for the public. The Compensation Committee, working together with external experts in a time-consuming and diligent process, has revised the compensation system for the Managing Board. With the revision of its compensation system, Siemens was one of the first companies in Germany to quickly and completely implement the recommendations of the German Corporate Governance Code from May 2013. We've introduced a cap on the total compensation for each managing board member. For the president and CEO, for example, the cap is 9.5 million euros for one fiscal year. In numerous talks with investors and shareholder representatives, both in Germany and abroad, I also received valuable ideas for shaping more ambitious and individual targets. In selecting the performance indicators and targets for the current fiscal year, I would like to mention the following points. Target achievement will continue to be measured on return on capital employed, ROCE, as well as on free cash flow. But we have deliberately dispensed with a target based on revenue growth. Instead, economic value added, EVA, is now the target parameter for members of the managing board holding sector responsibility. Furthermore, individual targets have been agreed upon with all members of the managing board, and these apply both to operations as well as to regional responsibilities. By placing greater emphasis on individual targets and making changes in the overall compensation system, we are strengthening the entrepreneurial responsibility of the individual managing board members. The revised compensation system is described in detail in the annual report and is presented today as agenda item 5 for your approval. Ladies and gentlemen, the Supervisory Board and the Managing Board have combined the variety of information, suggestions, and recommendations into a future-oriented compensation and target system that has also been positively received by the public. In particular, I would like to thank Mr. Venning and the members of the Compensation Committee for their commitment and recommendations in this matter. In connection with the establishment of the Compensation Committee, the Supervisory Board and the Managing Board proposed to the annual shareholders meeting an adjustment of the Supervisory Board compensation. Membership in this committee should be compensated, as is also the case for other Supervisory Board committees, but I would like to expressly emphasize the fact that the members of the Chairman's Committee, who also belong to the Compensation Committee according to the bylaws, shall not receive double compensation. The respective amendment to the Articles of Association lies before you today for decision. Ladies and gentlemen, this brings me to the end of my introductory remarks. You can find further information on the work of the Supervisory Board in the annual report. Following an eventful year, it is now time to bundle and focus the company's strengths, catch up again with the competition, and be a powerful and effective player for the future. Siemens can do many things well and some things better. The Supervisory Board is convinced of this and has confidence in the Managing Board and in the creative power of more than 360,000 employees worldwide. Ladies and gentlemen, I would now like to turn the floor over to the President and CEO, Mr. Joe Kaeser, for his report on the state of the company. Go ahead, Mr. Kaeser.
Thank you, Dr. Kromme, shareholders, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Managing Board of Siemens AG, I warmly welcome you to our 2014 Annual Shareholders Meeting. 2013 was an eventful year for the whole world, for many of us, but most especially for Siemens. Unexpected changes, unwelcome rumors, unfulfilled expectations, and important decisions. It was a year when a great deal went well for us, but also a year when some things could have and should have gone better. And when we ponder changes, we see that sometimes the reasons for them and the events that triggered them are not always identical. And that, by the way, also applies to success and failure. Fortunately, one thing that has not changed is your interest in and your loyalty to our company. That so many of you are attending today once again demonstrates that. So welcome to your company and welcome to Siemens. Dear shareholders, your confidence in Siemens is a special obligation for us. Many of you have been loyal to our company for years, sometimes even for decades. Some of you as shareholders, and often also as current or former employees of our company. To all of those who have been associated with Siemens for a long time, I would like to give a special salute to all of you here in the auditorium. It's wonderful to see so many of you today. I'd also like to extend a heartfelt greeting to a person whom our company owes a great deal, even though he was never a Siemens employee. And that's our former compliance monitor and Germany's former Minister of Finance, Theo Weigel. Dear Mr. Weigel, I'm very pleased you could join us today. You provided prudent guidance in a difficult time to Siemens. And I really say this explicitly, prudent guidance to our company, and we greatly appreciate all you have done for us and the fact that both the chairman of the supervisory board and the CEO extend a special welcome to you is really a sign of our appreciation. So thank you, dear Mr. Weigel, for everything that you have done for our company, its employees. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, over the past few years, our company has undergone necessary and extensive corrections, and there has been a return to fundamental values. Integrity and decency are not relics of the past. They are still the cornerstones of responsible business conduct, and that applies in an international context as well. Integrity and decency are what require us to deal honestly and openly with our recent past. And that includes addressing responsibilities, making changes whenever necessary, and respecting and recognizing the lifetime achievements of the generations that went before us. On that note, then, let me offer a special welcome to former leaders of the company, members of management, who are attending our meeting today, as well as the members of the families of the different branches of the founding family, the Siemens family. Well, I think they deserve an applause. The former chairman of the supervisory board, Dr. Franz. And I would like to especially welcome the widow of the longtime president and CEO of Siemens, Mrs. Kaske. Mrs. Kaske has not been here for quite a long time, although she has always remained very close to our company. And when I was appointed to my office, she wrote to me and she wished me the very best. And I remembered one sentence that her late husband once said. Well, basically he said to me, well, we did whatever had to be done, whatever was necessary, we did it. And it is my wish that our generation, the next generation that is going to assess our company, is going to be able to say this about our current management generation, that we did whatever needed to be done. Ladies and gentlemen, in the last year, we fell short of our own ambitious operational targets. but that hardly makes our company a restructuring case. Our new orders rose 10% on a comparable basis, and while revenue declined 1% in the past fiscal year, we generated net income of 4.2 billion euros. This fiscal year, we expect an increase in net income of at least 15%, provided revenue remains at the same level. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not what a restructuring case looks like. But it's not what a top performer looks like either. Many, many individuals contributed to this solid performance. We owe the employees of Siemens special gratitude for their loyalty and their dedication in a difficult time. Likewise, I'd like to recognize our customers. Quite obviously, they are the ones who pay our salaries at the end of the day, and I would like to thank them for the loyalty to our company. And I would like to certainly also thank my predecessor, Mr. Löscher. He is a manager of profound integrity. He assumed the leadership of Siemens in a time when probably no one from inside the company could have won back respect and recognition for the company to such a degree. And I would also like to thank the three other members of the managing board who left the company during the past year. Brigitte Ederer, who already accomplished much for Siemens as general director in Austria and who then bore special responsibility for our company as the managing board member responsible for Europe and as human resources director. Barbara Cooks, who significantly contributed to Siemens' reputation as an ecologically sustainable and responsible corporation. And Peter Solmsen, who together with his team restored Siemens' now widely recognized culture of integrity. We will carry on this legacy and we will continue to make sure that all our business is clean. I also especially want to extend my thanks to the supervisory board chaired by Dr. Kromme. Not only the general public had a hard time with Siemens over the past year, the supervisory board too had to deal with challenging issues. And that was not an easy task for any of the individuals involved. This year, two employee representatives will be leaving the supervisory board. Lothar Adler, the chairman of the Central Works Council, he is not here at the moment, but I'm sure he is going to return soon, and Reiner Sieg, who represents senior managers. Both will reach the age limit for employees prescribed by law and will therefore retire. This is the last annual shareholders meeting for both of them. And I would like to thank both of them here and today for their dedication in their offices as staunch advocates of the interests of Siemens employees. They have made important contributions to our company and service, not always given us an easy time, but they always had a very fair way of working with us. They really made important contributions in the service to the company over many years, and they deserve our respect. Ms. Steinborn, please tell Mr. Adler, just in case, that he cannot hear us in the restrooms because the dryers are so loud, and he might not have heard my comments, so please tell him what I said about him. I would also like to include Mr. Ackermann in my thanks. He resigned from the supervisory board last year on his own accord. Ladies and gentlemen, in the last fiscal year, we were not always successful. Nevertheless, we also achieved a great deal. Where we disappointed expectations or where our competitors left us behind, we need to improve. But we are also happy about our successes. We won several important contracts that will secure jobs and strengthen us further as a company. For instance, the contract for Thames Link, one of London's really important rail connections, comes to mind, or the construction of the Riyadh Metro in Saudi Arabia. We currently have orders for 102 billion euros in our books. Above all, that makes one thing clear, ladies and gentlemen. Customers all over the world count on us, trust us, and they want access to our expertise and capabilities and reliabilities to secure their future. The profitability of some of our divisions is outstanding. For example, the Imaging and Therapy Systems Division in the healthcare sector, or Industry Automation and Drive Technologies in the industry sector, or Fossil Power Generation in the energy sector, including services, they really excel by their outstanding profitability, and that has been the case for many years now. So taken together, these four divisions, so 4 out of 17, account for more than 80% of our operating profit, with a revenue share of just 44%. So these divisions, they are leading us in the right direction, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is the direction that must be taken. With the spin-off of Osram, we not only gave the lighting business an attractive future, but also found a solution that benefited you, our shareholders. Definitely, you benefited from this. The shares you received a few months ago have nearly doubled in value since then. And I do hope that you held on to them until today. And we also chose a promising solution for the Siemens Nokia Networks NSN joint venture that will also secure jobs here in Munich for the foreseeable future. And both in the case of Osram and NSN, prudence and patience paid off for both of them. So that this was not vacillation or hesitation, and that is what some people criticized us for. Some people who said they should be actually carved out of the company prematurely, but we had to wait. We had to wait for the right approach at the right time. It was not vacillation or hesitation. Ladies and gentlemen, even though we cannot be satisfied as far as operations and strategy are concerned, on the whole, our financial performance was solid. And that's why we can once again propose a dividend of €3 to you at the conclusion of the fiscal year. And that upholds our commitment to continuity and stability in our dividend policy. At 57%, the dividend payout ratio is within the 40 to 60% corridor. So that's exactly the corridor range that we set ourselves in terms of dividend payout policy. And if you take into account the effects of the stock buyback plan implemented in 2013 and the Osram spin-off, the year was really not all that bad for Siemens shareholders as far as payout is concerned. We will continue to aim for attractive returns for our shareholders, 140,000 of whom, no fewer than 140,000 of whom are employees, without neglecting investments in the company's further strategic and operational development. However, ladies and gentlemen, the past fiscal year also showed us that there are things which we must do better. We talked a lot about growth and allotted large amounts of money and substantial resources to that end. In fiscal 2011 and fiscal 2012 alone, we hired a net total of nearly 36,000 people in our continuing operations. In spite of that, we lost ground against our competitors. And in acquisitions and in the planning and implementation of several large and important projects, we were not as reliable as we expect ourselves to be and as our customers expect us to be. That cost us not only a lot of money, but also and in particular prestige. In the last 7 years, we've incurred special charges averaging 700 million euros, 700 million euros per year. In the last 2 years, the average soared to more than 1 billion euros per year, and that is definitely too much. And we have to change that. We will change it through transparency, discipline, and consistency. and that also involves learning from our mistakes. We started doing that. Over the past few months, we focused on improving our technical risk management. For example, we'll involve corporate technology, so that is one of the central units for technology. There, we will do the risk assessment of the new types of large projects, and that means that the knowledge and experience of the whole company can go into the assessment of major projects. So that's the corporate memory, the memory of our company. And well, you know that people sometimes say, if Siemens only knew how much it knows, then things can definitely no longer go wrong. There cannot be any failures if we remember what we really know. And our long-standing technical experience must also be taken into account whenever we assess new projects. And the so-called difficult projects, of which you've really read about in the press and in the media and you saw on television, on these difficult projects we made significant progress. That applies to offshore platforms in the North Sea and to high-speed trains, as well as to the construction of the Olkiluoto power plant in Finland. Yet, these projects will keep us busy for years to come and represent latent material risks for the company's profitability throughout that period of time. There are many conclusions we can draw from these setbacks, and one of them is especially important to me. We must listen to our customers better, and we have to engage them as partners more extensively and more closely in the implementation of complex projects. That's why the expansion of customer support, the proximity of our regional units to customers, and the strengthening of our sales regions have been the top priorities for me since I took office. A company can only be successful if it understands its customers well. The path to customers must be shorter, and local support must be more direct. That's why we've restructured our regional organization. Going forward, we will do without one entire hierarchy level, namely our former so-called regional clusters. Instead of this, there will be 30 lead countries which account for more than 85% of our revenue. They will report directly to the managing board. These 30 countries will manage the rest of the country through 100 sales regions and will also determine the amount of resources allocated to them. Additionally, lead countries will be directly responsible to the managing board for market coverage in their region, and that adds up to shorter paths, faster decisions, better coverage of markets, even smaller ones, and most of all, greater customer proximity.
Ladies and gentlemen, we delivered a very sound quarter to start our fiscal year. As expected, market conditions were not particularly in our favor. This is why we continue to focus on our productivity program for the year and on the actions we will take beyond 2014. Of course, there are some things we have to improve in addition to that. We have recently lost ground against competitors in terms of both growth, that is market share, and profit margin. Market share, ladies and gentlemen, market share means growth. And growth secures jobs. Here's where our competitors, in part, did better than we did. And the same applies to the margins. On average, our competitors have outperformed us since 2011. We cannot and will not be satisfied with that. And we are not only concerned about profit, it's about profit and people. And there's no need to construct artificial opposites. Sustainable profitability in line with industry benchmarks is indispensable to us, just as indispensable as the employees who earn their profit with their dedications and skills. Margin and profit is not about greed or craving recognition. No, it's about meeting the basic requirements for maintaining and improving our global competitiveness. profit, finances, investments, innovation, market development, and particularly the state-of-the-art continuing education of our employees. That is why consistently delivering stable profit on par with industry benchmarks is essential to securing jobs at Siemens. That is why we must and will quickly reduce the profitability gap to our competitors and close it in the long term. In the past fiscal year, 2013, we invested 1.3 billion euros in measures to improve profitability. That investment must now start showing results, and the agreed plans must now be consistently executed. Doing so will enable us to raise margins on a sector level by about 200 to 300 base points relative to fiscal 2013, and this way we will achieve a sector margin of between 9.5 and 10.5%. This is a first step, it's a good step, and it's a necessary step. Ladies and gentlemen, leading a company is not accomplished by grassroots democracy. There has to be an internal order, a prioritization of tasks, and a consistent and prudent allocation of resources to businesses that serve the larger whole. And that larger whole is Siemens. Siemens must once again come first at Siemens. That calls for discipline and for setting aside personal interests. We've used the last few months to strengthen this internal order at Siemens, and we will lead the company more stringently. Customers will essentially be managed by capable sales regions, which will be responsible for market coverage in their countries. A strong, and strong doesn't mean big, a strong corporate governance unit, I call that the corporate core, will define guidelines for the company in close coordination with the managing board. It will oversee their implementation and maintain our internal order. In that capacity, it will support our businesses and have the authority to issue directives. The business units will be responsible for shaping and implementing strategy and for developing and manufacturing their portfolio of products and services. They'll be accountable for the income statement and thus globally responsible for their businesses. The managing board will represent the company as a whole, always and everywhere. It will prioritize and integrate all businesses, regions and functions, and thus maximize Siemens' success. We have streamlined the managing board itself significantly and redefined responsibility for the integration of sectors and regions, the matrix as we call it. And that too is a step towards concentration, efficiency, and faster decision making. One measure of the corporate core was to review stock exchange locations for Siemens. The result of this review is the decision to delist Siemens American Depository Receipts, an equivalent of shares, from the New York Stock Exchange. Further, Siemens intends to terminate its reporting obligations to the American Securities Exchange Commission. In doing so, we take into account the change in the behavior of investors in the capital market, which now significantly differs from the original assumptions made when Siemens was listed. And we respect these changes and draw our consequences. Of course, independent from the delisting, the high standards of transparency in our financial reporting and first-class corporate governance will continue to be a top priority at Siemens. Ladies and gentlemen, the stock markets, that is you, support our course. They have given us a lot of credit in the past few months. The Siemens stock price has risen significantly since the summer of 2013 and has, in part, outperformed the DAX, not to mention several competitors. That is both an obligation and an incentive, and we will live up to it. But whatever we do, it must add lasting value and deliver benefits for our shareholders, for our employees, for our customers, and in particular for our partners in business and society. Today, we're already planning for the time after 2014, because one thing is certain, absolutely certain, Siemens will still be around far beyond 2014. It is the principal task of the managing board. I'm also very happy about that, by the way. It is the principal task of the managing board to shape the company's future, to chart its course, and to define milestones for achieving goals. We will do that ourselves, and we will not allow anyone else to do it for us. We will present the results of this process when we release the second quarter results in May. Ladies and gentlemen, there's already been a great deal of speculation about the potential outcome of this process and its impact. Rumors and conjectures have gone round, but as usual, have disintegrated under the weight of reality. I am absolutely sure that until May, many more speculation will come and go. Therefore, allow me to say a few words about that. What is correct and what is important is this. Our company is not a restructuring case. We are global, we are competent and powerful. And in terms of technical abilities, in many areas, we are among the best in the world. Even though we lost ground in profitability, which we must concede if we have the claim to be among the best, even if we've lost ground here, we will not regain it by frantically taking action or by making cosmetic changes. But we will do that by rigorously, responsibly focusing on creating value. The further development of the company in terms of strategy, content, structure is an ongoing process and in fact entirely normal in a well-run company. We are not making changes for the sake of change. We're doing it to safeguard this great company's competitiveness in the long term, and in doing so, our ambition to be the leader along the entire value chain of electrification will be the foundation for structural decisions. Those who want to shape markets cannot be guided by what others have already done, but must anticipate change and seize opportunities. That's our aspiration. And we will work hard and tirelessly to achieve that. We won't be able to please everybody. The speed of international competition is far too great for that. That's why we will have to set priorities. But we will make our changes in a decent, responsible, and prudent way, just as is expected from Siemens and from us. As we assess our portfolio in terms of strategy and operations, we will address the following issues. First question, what are the growth areas of the future? Which markets, geographic regions and technologies? Second question that we will deal with, where do the greatest profits for our company beckon? Where can we make money in the long term and create lasting value for our shareholders and employees? Third question, that's the one about competencies. Why should customers choose Siemens and not a competitor? What are our success factors? What are our capabilities? And which capabilities do we have to acquire quickly? The fourth question that we have to deal with is, what synergistic value does Siemens gain from its business? Why are we better as an integrated company? Do we have the best businesses on the field? That's very important. It's like in a football team. There too you have a goalkeeper, a defender, you have center players, and those playing forward, and you need to train them all well. Those playing at center field won't be given training for the goalkeeper. You'll want to make sure that those shoot the goals, and that's the same here. Every business needs to be in the best possible position so it can be successful. It may be different, but still we're one team. And still, ladies and gentlemen, we're one club. Fifth question. That's the one for sound structural changes. Our business is subject to continuous change, but often this change is very abrupt. It comes immediately. You call this a paradigm shift. And the question is, what does a paradigm shift mean to us and our strategy and on the continued existence of our company? The good news here is, ladies and gentlemen, that a large part of our portfolio is already at the center of major global trends. Trends such as urbanization, demographic change, resource efficiency, and globalization. These trends open up attractive opportunities for us, but also for our competitors, and for those who are attempting to enter the market with new technologies. Digitization has already profoundly changed the world, yet that's just the beginning. Many companies from the digital world, software companies from the old and new world, are trying to venture into our domains and markets. We're taking that very seriously, and we have great respect. But those who try should also know we're already there. And we know and understand our customers and their processes. That's why we will concentrate even more on what we do well. Siemens is the electrification company. We're the powerhouse that covers the value chain of electrification like no other company. No other company in the world has the opportunities that we have today for our further development. In automation, we lead the way and we want to remain the leader. However, almost everywhere along this value chain, digitalization is seen as a determining factor for shaping the future. That is what we will focus on in our strategy, and that's why how we will set up our company's structure. Ladies and gentlemen, Siemens is more than just a company. Siemens is an institution, a flagship for Germany, and a synonym for made in Germany. Siemens stands for the virtues that the whole world associates with Germany: outstanding engineering and relevance in technology and innovation, quality and reliability, ingenuity and determination. Siemens stands for stability and solid finance. And Siemens also stands for social responsibility, for example, by providing excellent training and education for young people throughout the company. We stand out with our global footprint. We are proud of our long-standing relationships with customers and partners all over the world. These are the values and cornerstones on which we can build a successful future. And living up to these values day after day, that is what counts. That is how we will act, and that is how hard we will work. My colleagues and I, and the entire Siemens team, bear the responsibility for the company's future. I consider that as an obligation and my calling. There will be no excuse for complacency or hesitation, not with respect to the managing board, nor with respect to customers and the general public, and especially not with respect to you, our shareholders. Ladies and gentlemen, for many decades, Siemens was a family enterprise. It was led by owners who had a natural interest in its long-term successful development. But these owners also knew that lasting success must be planned and developed every day, every quarter, and every year. Not hastily, but consistently and responsibly. Many of our employees are also Siemens shareholders, and I would like to see that number grow, so that a culture of responsible ownership develops within the company. What I mean by that is that every employee, from the managing board to the trainee, bears responsibility for the sustainable and lasting development of the company. My message to everyone is this: always act as if it were your own company. Ownership entails obligations. We treat what we own with care. We want to protect, preserve, and multiply what we own. We don't squander it and don't neglect it. A culture of responsible ownership appeals to every individual's sense of responsibility. That is the kind of culture I want to establish, nurture, and put into practice at Siemens. Siemens stands for innovation and technology, for quality, reliability, and Siemens stands for responsibility. For the aspiration that our work will make life better for our children's generation. We need a strong earnings power for that within our component. That's our commitment, that's our promise. And ladies and gentlemen, that is how we will write the next chapter of the Siemens story. That's what this company is about, what it stands for, and what connects us and everywhere in the world with the company. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Käse. Before we start our general discussion, I would like to make some housekeeping announcements. The agenda and the texts for our resolutions, the resolutions from management, have been available on the company's website since the notice was issued. They were also sent to you with the notice to the AGM, and this is all available at the information booths. There and at the speakers' tables, you will also find an updated appropriation of net income from the Managing Board and the Supervisory Board, because there have been some changes in the number of Treasury shares since the notice was sent out. All of the important announcements or information with regard to giving proxies, taking the floor, and on the voting procedure can all be found in the organizational announcements that were sent to you with your admission tickets. Explanations and information on the agenda can also be found in the information leaflet, which is available at the information booths. This now concludes transmission.